Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas! Go!
Yes, sir! Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello!
Special playoff edition of the Patriots Podcast. God damn it, am I happy to have a co-host this week.
Great stuff. It's great stuff. Yeah, I missed last week, but personal stuff. But hey, I'm back.
Hey, duty calls. And we're happy to have you back. Nobody wants to live for that long again. So we're here to recap what was a kind of anticlimactic divisional weekend of football. I was all amped up for this. And like all the games were blowouts by halftime.
Three out of four of them. Yeah, definitely.
Everybody was down at least two touchdowns at halftime, except for the Saints.
It was quite clear who the better teams were.
Oh, yeah. It was easy to tell right away, right off the bat. And we might as well just get into this Patriots-Chargers game, because a lot of us were shaking in our boots about it. And that did not come to fruition. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Chargers won on the road in sub-40-degree weather in Baltimore after doing a cross-country flight at 10 a.m. their time. And they were going to be facing the same thing again this week. It was a little bit colder. It was about 30, 28, something like that. And they just, like, flat out didn't show up at all.
Yeah. They basically walked into it with their very simple cover three defense and their same offense. And seemed to me like Melvin Gordon, you know, was definitely still injured. But still, that's no excuse for what happened. They basically, what was the score at some point? It was like...
It was 35-7 at one point.
35-7. Yeah, it just looked. And that was going into the fourth quarter. So, you know,
That was at halftime.
Right. For halftime. And then it got worse.
Yeah.
So the final score, 41-28, doesn't really tell the story much. It was just utter domination. Patriots came out, scored pretty well. They got in some third downs, but moved the ball pretty efficiently. Then the Chargers come out. They score immediately on a complete mishap by the secondary, and it was like, oh god, it's like, don't tell me this is gonna happen. And then boom, Patriots come back, score again, defense tightens up and starts kicking the living shit out of that offensive line and Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, it was a beautiful game plan. It starts right at the beginning when they win the toss and they receive virtually unheard of under Belichick. Then they go down, they converted a couple third downs on that first drive, which were clutch. I'm thinking about the very first one when Edelman has like a full extension catch on an out pattern on the right side of the field to convert a third and two, our first down. That was huge, and then they just kept the momentum rolling from there. They get the touchdown, give up the touchdown, and they go back down and score to follow that up. And I think what they did is they established that their offense was going to be productive. And they got out to an early lead, and they knew Melvin Gordon wasn't 100%, not even close. Kid was wearing two knee braces.
Yeah.
And so all those factors make the Chargers' offense one-dimensional. It makes them pass only, essentially.
Right.
And when you do that, you can take advantage of a bad offensive line. I'm not saying their offensive line is terrible, but it's not great. It's if they were still in the playoffs right now, they'd definitely be the worst offensive line remaining.
Yeah, and they took real advantage of that.
And then, so they took advantage of the offensive line, and they made Phil Rivers uncomfortable with a lot of blitzes, and that was pretty much it on defense. Yeah. I mean, they played prevent in the second half, and they put up some points, as you'd expect. But defensively, it was just about making them one-dimensional and then attacking the quarterback.
This is the most our defense has attacked anyone all year. I mean, we've done a lot of the, you know, mulling around at the line and send certain guys and not other guys. This was just straight on, we're sending, you got five blockers, we're sending six guys. They did that multiple times, and I don't think I can't remember a time they've ever done that. They're basically doing the cover zero that the Ravens did.
A couple times they did, yeah.
And it was like, wow.
It was great to see. Yeah, Brian Flores being aggressive as a defensive play caller. I love the game plan going in. It's a testament to Phillip Rivers that he only got sacked twice. He was getting the ball out of his hands when he had to, because there was pressure on him constantly.
Oh, yeah. He had no time. It was awesome. You know, Dante Hightower had 8 quarterback pressures.
Whoa. By himself?
By himself. That shows you how much they got out. Hey, he had a great game. Claiborne had a tackle and a half for a loss and a sack. Flowers had a tackle for a loss and a sack. I mean, they were killing him. He came up limping. They wouldn't let up. Hightower's being like mean.
I know. Hightower was legit being mean. He knocked Phil down a couple times outside of the whistles. And they're just like, I guess that's just what's happening today. They weren't calling shit. That false start where he knocked him down, that was great. Or was it a delay of game?
Oh, my God. Remember. Everything.
God, and they were rattled. How about out. Those delay I mean, games?
Yeah, they had two delay games. Actually, in both delay games, though, they did convert third downs, which is interesting. They almost had a third, but that just shows you that their heads weren't there. The Patriots are just, you know, especially listening to this week and listening to a lot of the guys' post-game pressers, which I'm sure we'll get to in a little bit, they were angry. They heard a lot of the noise from the national level of what was going on, and they were angry. And they came in this game with an attitude like, we're going to stop you. We're going to kick the shit out of you guys. We're going to out-physical you on both sides of the ball and see what happens. And I haven't seen the Patriots do that in a while, nor have I seen a team in the NFL this year really pull some of the ballsy moves that they did in this game just to say, you know what, fuck you guys. See what you can do. The biggest one was the 4th-and-2 play. We're a little bit out of field goal range. It's 4th-and-2. We're up, so we decided to go for it. I think it was in the third quarter, or was that in the second quarter? Do you remember the play I'm talking about?
It might have been in the second quarter.
Might have been the second. So it was still, like, it was not really a game, but it was still kind of a game. They lined up 4th-and-2, and they line up in, like, I formation, basically, like, we're just running it. See what you guys can do. Can, you know. And Tony Romo on the broadcast is saying, like, oh, here they go. They're going 4th-and-2. Of course, Belichick, here we go. Like, they're going to just run it. They're just going to run it right up the middle, are they? He's like, I can't believe they're doing this. They're going to do it. And you see it, and they run right up the ass of them, right on the off the left tackle behind Gronk and Devlin and Trent Brown, and they get it easily. And it's just, you know, I can't personally think of a game I've seen recently where anybody's done that, because that's a ballsy move when somebody does that. We're just going to run it, and we're going to get it. And it's not even going to be a question. There was no chance in anybody's mind that they weren't getting that.
I know, right? It was the first drive of the second half. The one of the crazy stats that I heard was when Sony Michel was in the game, it was like 80 or 85% run plays.
Yeah.
When Sony was in there with James Devlin, that goes up to 95%. And when James White is in the game, it's 90% pass plays.
Right.
It's like they are just by the personnel.
You can tell what's going on.
They're telling you exactly what they're going to do, and the Chargers had zero in.
They couldn't do. That's what I mean. Like we weren't doing anything insane. We were just saying, we're just going to give it to you. There's nothing you can do about it. Now the Chargers didn't switch it up at all, defensively or offensively, to say, you know, oh God, they're, you know, if they said, hey, we're going to put the big package on when Sony Michel's there, they didn't really do that. I mean, we threw one ball. Sony Michel did catch a pass early, I think on the first drive, which he never does. So maybe that threw him off a little, but they really were just trying to stick to their guns, and they got out-physicaled.
Yeah, they got beat down, and it's great to see from the Pats. Like you said, they had that underdog mentality, and it just brings you back to old Patriots teams when it's like nobody believes in us against the world type shit. And, you know, for all of them saying that, people aren't excited about them. And they have some question marks about, like, how do you lose to Miami? How do you lose to Pittsburgh? How do you go 3-5 on the road? And we're supposed to believe that you're a really good team. Those are legitimate concerns. But really, people aren't sitting here saying the Patriots suck.
No.
No one's really saying that. But to create that mirage inside the locker room, Belichick does that better than anyone. He's like, well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's just like, nobody believes in you. You guys stink. Look at this article. Look at this quote. Look at this and that. And they're just like, wah.
And it's good. And that's when they got to get angry. That's the Brady plays. We all know how Brady plays angry. He's incredible. When he's got that look in his eyes, like, I fucking am going to kill someone. And he does it. But in Belichick, even Belichick has been pissed. Now we can say it's all, you know, Belichick trying to get them all fired up. In the press conference, one of the dudes that asked him a question, this dude Bernard, he is on this sports hub. He got, like, Belichick just gave him a death stare. He asked him fine, like, normal question, like, oh, were you expecting to see 70 backs on the field or 60 backs sometimes as opposed to more linebackers? And Belichick just gave him the death stare and just Because we've been expecting it all year. That's what they did last year. What do you expect? He's like, what are you kidding me? Just then just stopped and stared and was like mumbled off to himself. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Just shit all over him. And you know, Bedard, the guy gives him some hard takes. He's like, I don't trust Belichick as much. Nothing horrible, but just enough for Belichick to know who he is and just not give him the time of day. And, you know, playing mad is the way that 4th-and-2 was really the thing for me. It's like, are they really doing this early in the game, and they're just going to try and shut this one real quick?
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't even early in the game. They were up 35-7.
They were up 35-7. I thought you said it was beginning of the second quarter.
Yeah, it was 35-7 at halftime, man.
Yeah,
they
were up by
28 points in the second half, and they decided to go for it on 4th-and-2. Inside field goal range, mind you.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's like, fuck that. They ended up settling for a field goal.
That's
but
just,
they were like, you can't stop us from two. They
that's just literally just them. Yeah, you're just breaking them. They're like, we're going to break you on this play. Done. And then the game's over. Like, literally.
Yeah.
It's like, you want to come back? You can't even stop this. And that gives me, that's what gives me a lot of hope going into this Kansas City game. It sometimes it's just who gets hot when. And if we're the hot team right now, cause looking at those other games around the weekend, well, some of them are blowouts, but by no means were any of those teams really, I wouldn't say dominant. Like, Chiefs gave the cult, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. No, nobody was truly dominant in any of those games. The Patriots game stood out by far.
Yeah, it's like,
as the most dominant.
Yeah, and you know, they didn't pull out too many, you know, Edelman was a complete beast, best game of the year.
Easily.
9 catches, 151. He becomes the second most receptions in postseason history under Jerry Rice, who has quite the lead. But
he's second in yards. It's something like that. Like second in yards and third in receptions. But
is it,
this game, he'll pass.
Oh, I thought he passed receptions already, but maybe not.
It's one or the other. He's after this game, he'll be number two in both yards.
And everything.
Reception.
Yeah.
Not touchdowns.
Not touchdowns, but. Yeah. James White had 15 catches for 97 yards. It's like literally
nuts?
Just feed James White, which we've been waiting for. That's kind of, that's almost like a record.
It ties the postseason record. A couple of those are the like the jet sweep shovel pass things. A few of those, so it's a little inflated. But 15 catches for 100 yards on 17 targets. I mean, you're gonna be happy with that. Like you said, Edelman was a man among boys in this game. He's got the fire in a big way. I think he's super happy to be back in the playoffs after sitting out last year. Gronkowski was great in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
Only was targeted twice in the passing game. One of them, the holding call in the end zone, or pass interference, I can't remember what they call in Casey Hayward.
Yeah, it was holding, I think they called.
And that was in the first half, and then he caught one at the beginning of the second half for like a vintage Gronk crosser, stiff-arming people. He's going to be fine. I think he's not the same player right now. Who knows if he ever will be, but he's still extremely effective.
Especially
in the running game.
Yeah, he's definitely dealing with definitely in the running game. He's very effective. I think he's hurt. You know, he's definitely hurt. I mean, I think people know that. But that one, it seems like they're just trying not to target him too much to see how much rest they can kind of get him from taking those big open field hits.
Yeah, could be.
So for like if we could preserve it, because think about it, he got no targets or one target versus the Jets. Almost none versus the Bills. Then we have the bye week. They give him one pass. He takes a couple hits, but he looked fine. And now it's like, okay, here's another whole week. Maybe whatever is ailing him or whatever might be fine, because we hear the conversation about Gronk being retiring and this, that, and the other thing. The first 6 weeks of the season, or however many weeks it was, he was like dominant. He was being double teamed. He couldn't get, you know, couldn't break some of the double teams. The Kansas City game, he was a monster.
It's a monster. I was just going back watching the highlights. He went for 100 yards on 3 catches.
Monster. Just own them. Exactly. It's like, okay, so if we can get that type of reduction again, they're screwed. Not screwed, but it's going to bode well for us, I guess, is what I'm
saying. Going to need it. Going to need it.
Because
we can move on from Gronk. We've talked it to death. Everyone's just wondering if he's hurt or if he's broken. And
I think he's hurt.
We're not going to know until the offseason into next.
Yeah.
Offensive line played great. I mean, just the way they were able to run the ball, that says enough. You don't even have to talk about Brady not getting sacked once against
two
really good pass rushers.
Yeah, they were pancaking guys. Remember that? Remember the play where the the defensive tackle broke through on Shaq Mason. He turned around and just shoved the defensive tackle like 5 yards across the field. Remember that play?
Yeah, of course I do.
That was like Trent Brown was just made Joey Bosa look like a child. One of the best defensive ends made him look like a little kid.
You didn't hear his name once in the game. Melvin Ingram, they kept showing him sitting down on the sideline. Melvin Ingram's one of my favorite players. And just the look of dejection on his face. He was just, it was like, he was a little kid and you stole his toy. It was like,
yeah.
He was just so mad and sad, really. It was what it looked like. The offensive line played outstanding. Going to need end next week.
Do you think they're the best offensive line left in the playoffs? I think I do.
No, I don't think so.
The Saints?
Saints off. They're the best in football. And the Rams are really good, too. Rams are real good. But I got to say, I like ours better than the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs have more holes.
And yeah, I don't like the Chiefs, I mean,
a single hole.
Yeah.
We'll get to the Chiefs-Colts game last because that'll lead into the Pats game. But just looking over at the NFC, you mentioned that they weren't dominating wins. Clearly, the Saints were a come-from-behind win after dropping down Geno. But the Rams went up early, and they hung on to it. But it was still an 8-point game.
Yeah.
Into the fourth quarter. They had to go for it on fourth and goal to really stretch this game out.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter. So you didn't get the feeling like they owned it, even though they shut down Ezekiel Elliott in the running game. And Dak Prescott wasn't running. It just seemed like offensively they played well, but they weren't it wasn't next level well,
right? You know?
And so it seems like that team's a little bit vulnerable, I would say. And then the Saints clearly are. I don't know,
the Saints are clearly vulnerable,
and I fully believe that they are probably the most, I don't know, the Pats are pretty balanced. It's just the Saints have a good defense, and they have a good offense, a really good offense. I'm worried about their offense, though. It's so reliant on Michael Thomas being a superhero. That's their whole passing game. It's all just targeting Michael Thomas, and he's making a very strong case for being the number one receiver in the
league. Oh yeah. I was having that conversation with someone the other day. He has been dominant, but you're right, if he's not dominant. The thing about that game is, well, actually, for the Saints Philly game, that was the best outcome of that game, because Philly showed that once again showed that New Orleans can bleed, because the last so many weeks, you know, week 8, 9, or 10, they looked like the favorite, unstoppable. Now they've been bleeding a little bit, but the Eagles still lost, so we don't have to deal with them in the playoffs. NFC East is gone, thank God.
I also like the way that it happened, because the legend of Nick Foles remains intact.
Yeah, yeah, he was open. He almost did it.
He was driving them to win that game, and
they were going
to
win.
His teammate fucked up on a perfect pass.
Yeah,
I feel really bad for Alshon Jeffrey, and I was so fucking angry at the broadcast team, because they kept putting his face on camera. They would just they'd go over to the Saints sideline, and then they go right into his face. And I'm like, that's the worst moment of his career. Get the fuck out of his face. Let the guy just be. All they wanted was for him to well up. They just wanted to see some tears.
So badly.
He didn't give it to him. Good for him.
Yeah. I think the trend of the other games in this series was they all were winning, but they let the other team come back. The other team hang around. Except for what?
The Saints game, because the Saints came back to win.
Right, the Saints came back, right.
But the Rams and Chiefs went up early.
And then
were not invincible in the way the Patriots put it out of hand.
Yeah.
Those teams couldn't do
it. And this is when you need to be doing stuff like that. Both of these teams have done it earlier in the year. But the last so many weeks, it's like, you know, talk about the hot hand. LA, I didn't get to see too much of that game, but as everyone said, they were sticking around. Kansas City let up a blocked punt or special teams play for a touchdown in the second half. They lost the fumble. You know, the ball was on the ground.
They fumbled two more times also. They recovered two of their own fumbles and were fortunate to. Yeah, I know people are probably screaming about, they won by 18 points. It was never even a one-score game after. But like you said, they fumbled on their own 20. Andrew Luck gave it right back. They had two other fumbles. I think both of them were by Mahomes, but they were able to recover those. The punt block, I mean, the punt protection was spotty the whole time.
Yeah.
And it could be a theme. Touchdowns.
That could be a theme going into next week.
The team didn't look that good. They looked pretty good, but not that good.
Good, but it looked like they couldn't take that next step to just say, okay, you guys are done. If the Colts had any offense whatsoever. And I don't even, you know, everyone's saying Kansas City's defense played really good. Obviously they did because they only let up 13 points. Mm-hmm. Andrew Luck looked like a little tiny shell of himself.
Andrew Luck couldn't does do anything. Not like the Colts.
He couldn't throw the ball. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't even, oh my God, you know, these guys are covering so good. Oh, no one's open. And I was like, he puts balls in windows way smaller than they're giving him right now. And he just can't even throw.
Yeah, he, it's becoming a story that Andrew Luck can't play in like sub 40 degree weather.
Anywhere.
He can't do it. He's anywhere a Texas
outside
boy,
of a dome.
Texas boy that went to school in California, now plays in a dome. And I don't know if it's a lack of practice or maybe it's his shoulder acting up. I don't know. But his arm strength wasn't there. He looked very uncomfortable. He played like crap.
Played like crap. He was terrible. He played fucking terribly. It's like, dude, you have to figure something out because you can't play that good most of the second half of the season and then go in there and get at your ass kicked. Now, granted, it was probably his first cold game in like 4 years in a playoff setting.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, he did look nervous. He just looked like he was completely just overwhelmed. It was too big of a moment, which was surprising, you know.
I think it's the weather for him. I don't know if it's too big a moment, but
well, it could have been the weather. It could have definitely been the weather.
Right from the get go, you could tell he was off.
Yeah, you're like, oh my God.
the other story from this game, the Chiefs Colts game, I'm talking about, was the Chiefs running game. They ran for a buck.
That's pretty damn
defense.
Good.
Colts defense had been playing very well, and I wonder how much of that had to do with the scheme. Because I wonder if they were just, look, we can't be giving up 80-yard touchdowns to Tyreek Hill every so often. Travis Kelce played incredible, by the way. Mm-hmm. Over the chains on third down. And they just ran the ball. They ran the ball all over him. And I think it should be a matchup to watch. I wonder what Belichick will do. See, we might as well just get into
it. Mm-hmm.
The Patriots-Chiefs matchup, doesn't it just feel like those classic, like Peyton Manning or the Rams even, playing the Rams in the Super Bowl, where it's this super high-flying offense with a very porous defense. Nobody's been able to figure out the offense. And then they come in, they play Belichick, and he comes up with some wacky game plan that just ruins it. It goes all the way back to the Super Bowl when the Giants were playing the Bills. The Bills' first Super Bowl before they were all Jaden. And like Thurman Thomas is the MVP of the NFL. Nobody can stop the K-gun offense. And then he just beats the living crap out of that team. And the Giants eke out a win with Jeff Hostetler as their quarterback to win a Super Bowl. So it just feels like it's working 100%. Its way into that. Like the 2003 AFC Championship game.
Was it versus Steelers?
No, it's versus Peyton Manning. It was Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning,
it was their first playoff matchup. Peyton was a co-MVP that year. I don't remember if that's the year Marvin Harrison receptions, but they come into snowy Foxborough, and he throws four interceptions, three of them to Ty Law, and they just wrecked that offense. And I'm wondering, does he have another one in him? Can he wreck this offense? I want it to happen, clearly, but
I think it's going to happen, man.
I don't know what... What do you do? How do you wreck this offense?
Well, they learned how to wreck it in the first season. It's 2002 that Marvin Harrison... First half of the game we played him. Marvin Harrison was 2002.
Okay, so
help you out there. But I think there's a chance. I think we're going to go look at, you know, games like when they went to Denver and only scored 27. And, you know, other team, you know, they went to Arizona and only scored 26. I mean, that was later in the season. The Denver game was early, but... They're going to find...
That's their lowest point total of the season, 26. This team's going to put up 30.
That's why I'm looking at this being like, who had a good game plan?
Nobody. If they can keep them to less than 26, that's a miracle.
Yeah. They let up only 9 in the first half. What they're going to have to do, they're going to have to come up with some kind of defense similar to like that, where they're basically not allowing him to know who is jumping into zone, who is jumping into man, basically disguising everything. Kind of keep that floating thing on the line where it's like, oh, are these three guys coming or are those three guys coming? Which, you know, are they in zone? Are those guys dropping into man coverage or zone coverage? What's going to happen? They're going to have to do something like that. And in the second half, they're going to have to completely change it.
Yeah, totally.
Just do a complete 180 and go to, like, what they were doing against the Chargers a little bit or, like, jump into a completely different man coverage. It's got to be a game of two halves.
Yeah.
It's like, here's defense one, here's defense two.
They need at least two entire game plans.
Probably even three.
Yeah.
Just in case.
in case one of them sucks.
One of them sucks, and then you got another one. And I think that's what Bill's going to do because we've seen him do it before.
Yeah.
You know, put like three down. It's going to be interesting because, you know, the big thing, especially when we played him earlier, they did rush for 180 yards, but they lost, what's his name, Kareem Hunt at running back where he got cut since we played them. And he, if you go back and watch that game, he had two huge receptions. Was it two receptions or just two huge plays? I know one was a reception, but...
He had one big run and a big reception. They only ran for 94 yards in the first matchup. The Chiefs did against the Patriots. Whereas the Pats ran for a 170. And that's what they're going to need to do again. I don't want to get onto the offense just yet, but sticking with the Patriots defense against the Chiefs offense, for me, it seems like Travis Kelce is the one that keeps drives going, and Tyreek Hill is the one that hits big plays. And I hear you. We're recording here. What's up?
What's happening? Hello?
We're still connected.
Sean, my boy. I think I can hear you.
Yeah, I'm talking here. Yes, sir. Bop, 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 ba-da, ba-da, ba-da. You're back.
There you are. Hello. Damn, that was a tough one.
I know, right?
Okay. But
I was talking.
I heard you.
It was still recording the whole time, so I'm just going to have to jump into it.
Yeah.
What the hell was it?
They ran for 94 yards. Yeah. The last thing I heard.
And then I went on from there to say I want to continue talking about the Pats Chiefs off, and that I think Travis Kelce is the one that makes the offense go. And Tyreek Hill, he's the chain mover. Tyreek Hill's the home run hitter. He makes big plays happen. And so it seems like it would be classic Belichick to try to take Kelce out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of take your lumps with Tyreek Hill. It's not like we have a guy that's going to match up nicely with him. Jonathan Jones is our fastest defensive back. So I would expect him to see more playing time this week. It might make its way to Jason McCourty, who's also got wheels. But I think the focus is probably going to be Travis Kelce. And I don't know about Mahomes, like, containing him. It might just be about confusing him and taking away Kelce. And those might be the two primary motivations for how they call it deep.
That's essentially what they did in the first half of the first game we played. They, you know, Kelce's a security blanket. He's the one where, you know, if Mahomes is looking, you know, he doesn't see what he likes, he looks at Kelce. Kelce is his security. So if you can get rid of him, I don't even, what do you think about putting Gilmore over him?
That's what I was wondering. Like, where does Gilmore fit
on this play? Because
I don't know who he covers.
You could put him on Sammy Watkins and he would do a good job, but it's almost like a waste.
Fuck Sammy Watkins isn't doing shit.
That's what I mean. That's like a waste of a pick there. He doesn't match up well with Tyreek Hill. I'd almost have J.C. Jackson, like you said, McCourty, or Jonathan Jones on him.
J.C. Jackson's physical. I'll take him against Sammy Watkins.
I would, too. I'd take him against Sammy, maybe put the two McCourtys on Tyreek Hill. And
Gilmore on Kelce?
Gilmore, that's not bad.
It's good if he's separate from the formation. I don't know if he has much experience covering an inline tight end. Like if Kelce's split out in the slot or outside, put Gilmore on him. That sounds great. But if he's inline tight end, I don't know. I don't know how well
It would have to be Chung and over the top help.
Yeah, in that situation, there's a lot of variables.
Which is fine. I mean, I think that'd be okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be totally okay. Chung still played well. He used to have Kelce's number. Chung he's gotten a little older. Kelce's gotten a little better. Mm-hmm. But that's always a good matchup to watch. So coverage wise, I don't know. I don't really know how it's going to work out. But I for damn sure know that they need to get pressure on Mahomes, and the way to do it, calling it right now, Cameron Irving, left guard, weak link on the Chiefs offensive line. Have to attack him, have to confuse him with blitzes and stunts, and if nothing else, just put Trey Flowers on. Put Trey Flowers right head on him and be like, put somebody else in the A-gap on the opposite side so Mitch Morse, the center, can't help out. If you can get a one-on-one with Trey Flowers and Cam Irving, I feel goddamn
good. Yeah, sounds pretty good. We need the defensive line to play like they played last week. If Hightower can put a game together like he did last week too, that'd be great. Played fantastic last game.
He was outstanding. So, and he was great in the first game against the Chiefs.
Yep, and Van Noy, he had a pick, he had an interception over the middle. Van Noy played really good last game. The defense is looking pretty good. They're kind of looking like that, you know, top 10 team in points allowed, like they ended up scoring at the end of the season. So,
right.
You know, we did mention, we've talked about it before, it seems like this team, we finally saw it last week. It's like we've seen spurts of, oh, there's that, you know, there's the offense. They look, you know, 28 points in the first half against Miami. And, oh, look at that defense. You know, they let, you know, they've been playing pretty good. They shut out the, you know, I can't say they shut out the Jets, but, you know, they kept Pittsburgh to 17 points when we only scored 10, like, at Pittsburgh. That's unbelievable when you go back and look at that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it wasn't the prettiest game. They were getting yards, but they were getting after it. But obviously our offense didn't show up. So we finally got a game where the offense was firing and the defense was firing in this game against the Chargers. And it just shows how much those things can complement each other and how fast you can go up if it's like, oh, you guys both put together two great possessions. You're up by 14 points.
Just like that.
Damn. I forgot what that, you know, everyone in the area kind of forgot what that felt like because we haven't seen that all year. I mean, even their best games when they played the Chiefs, well, the defense kind of shit at the end of that game.
Yeah.
You know, the same with the Chicago game and, you know, all these, you know, several games this year or when we go to Tennessee and nobody shows up. It's like, where the hell? You know? So if they can build off that momentum and they both units show up for a majority of the game at the same time, I think that's great. If they can play full 60 minutes together, it's going to be, we're going to win.
That would be huge. That would be absolutely definitely huge. The I guess we can talk about the Pats offense. Going against the Chiefs defense. So the Chiefs defense is 30th in the NFL in yards allowed, 31st. 31st against the pass. They are 31st in yards per attempt against the run. They allow an even 5 yards per carry.
That, no way. They're averaging 5 yards a carry?
Allowed defensively, yeah.
Holy shit. That's terrible.
I know. Well, they're playing prevent defense all the time.
I guess
they're
so true.
They're always up. And that leads to giving up a lot of yards. The Pats need to run the ball. They need to keep this train going. The first time these two teams faced off this season was really Sony Michel's coming out part. He went for over 100 that game. I think that was his first game going over 100. And we need more of that. The first time they played, Patriots possessed the ball for 36 minutes. Against the Chargers, they had the ball for like 38 minutes. If they can get above 35-minute time possession, that bodes very well.
Mm-hmm.
Not only does that mean you're keeping their offense off the field, but it means you're making their pass rush exhausted.
Yeah.
They only exactly. have the thing is what they have of the whole strength of this defense, and it's really the only thing they have on it, is they have Chris Jones, Justin,
yeah.
And behind them, there's almost nothing. So if you get those guys tired, I'm serious. If you get those,
I know, I agree with you.
You get those guys tired, then it's what do you're either facing an exhausted D Ford or you're facing some backup caliber player, and they're legitimately backup caliber. It's not like the Patriots defensive line where you got Trey Flowers, but then you have this rotation of Derek Wise and Adrian Claiborne and a bunch of other people who come in, they can actually get pressure. The Chiefs don't have that. They have superstars. And if you exhaust the superstars with time possession like that, then you're in a really good position come fourth quarter.
And the Patriots are as good of exhausting these defenses and as any. Look at the Chargers game. They were exhausted. They were dead. So if we
they're
can, yeah, if we can pull that
game
off again. They were on the field the whole fucking game.
Yeah.
I know. Five yards a carry is a rush attempt is just bananas.
On average for a full season. Yeah. That gets you in the Hall of Fame on offense.
Literally.
Yeah, and that's what they're putting together on defense.
That's what they're allowing. So, and I mean, the fact that they're allowing that, you know, are we going to win this game with a rushing game? Probably not. But if we were just bitched around a pretty solid run defense team, like the Chargers are, I don't think they're the best, but they're certainly not the worst. I'd say they're probably better than mediocre, you know?
Yeah.
And we just made them look like little children out there. We're going to gash this team.
We better.
And what does that set up? The play action pass, baby. If they can't get it, and if they can't get any pressure up the middle, it's it.
Yeah.
They're done.
You said that
Brady's going to score on them as much as he wants.
You said that the running game isn't going to win the game for us, but if we don't have a running game, that will lose the game.
Right. It's going to complement us enough that we can win. And, you know, you were saying about those stats about Sony Michel. you know, when he's going to run it when he's on the field. Maybe they're going to set up some stuff. Play action, maybe a flea flicker. You never know. They might get a little tricky here.
Wouldn't that be
with
great?
With some shit
in the, misdirection. In the freezing cold weather. That'd be something.
Yeah, well, they're gonna do what they need to win. And, you know, the more we go over this, it seems like they're starting to play into our strengths, whatever those strengths are. It's like, we got a chance.
Yeah. You mentioned protecting up the middle. That's my key for the offense in this game. It's how are they going to deal with Chris Jones? Chris Jones went for, I think he had 9 or 10 weeks consecutively with a sack as a defensive tackle. 330-pound, 6'5 defensive tackle. The guy's a menace. And you saw in the Colts game that he wasn't, they were double teaming him. He wasn't getting the quarterback. I think he swatted like 4 balls.
He did.
He just gets in passing lanes and swats it. He's a hard guy to deal with. And I don't, they're going to match him up against Joe Tooney. They're going to do it over and over and over again. And they need to scheme up a way to get him help. They need to figure out a way to have David Andrews help him with Chris Jones and then fix whatever's on the backside. If they put guys on either side of Shaq Mason, they need to be able to have James White get up in there and pass protect.
Mm-hmm.
So just handling, I feel pretty good about our tackles. Pretty good. I was watching the highlights, and Marcus Cannon was handling D. Ford. He's doing just fine.
I mean, he bitched Ingram.
Totally did.
So I think
it's going to be Ford about protecting against Chris.
Yeah, I mean, D. Ford and Melvin Ingram are similar players. Very similar talent level, you know.
D. Ford's a little bit more of a bend around the corner, whereas Ingram's a more all-around player. But yeah, I think Marcus Cannon holds up to the bull rush easily, and he's got good enough feet to help against that speed rush.
Yeah.
And then downfield, they have Kendall Fuller, who they picked up in that Alex Smith trade. He's their best defensive back. They just cut Ron Parker this week.
Really?
He was a starter for years for them. And they just cut him 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, if they make it.
Wow.
So, dirty. Nothing too much to be worried about on the back.
Yeah. I mean, I think Edelman looks like he's back to his 2016 form. And like you said, he's definitely excited about this. So I think he's just going to rip them apart, him and James White. And if you can get anything out of Gronk, it's going to be a long game. Philip Dorsett's going to have his couple, or Chris Hogan, one of the two of them, will have a couple. You need to get him in there. But, yeah. You know, we should beat man-to-man coverage or whatever the hell. Do you know what they – do they usually run a cover two?
I don't know. I don't really know. I don't think they cover people. I'm pretty sure they just go out there and they just wing it every play. Something like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Either way, if Brady's got time, he's going to carve him up if he's got time. And the way you get time is by establishing a running game and run and play action off it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way you get it. The third phase that we rarely talk about, this is one of the few games where the Patriots might be outmatched in the special teams department.
Think so? I know
Harrison Butker, their kicker, has been very, very good. But this is his first extended postseason run. Probably his first time. No, he made the playoffs. No, they didn't, did they? Did the Chiefs drop out of the playoffs after they started 6-0 last year? Holy shit, they might.
Yeah, yeah.
So this might be his first time in the playoffs, which could be challenging for him, especially in poor conditions. But they have Tyreek Hill returning punts. They returned a kick for 97 yards last time against the Patriots. It's going to be a challenge corralling both of them. So that's something to monitor. And also, Gostkowski has missed field goals in the postseason.
A few times.
Extra points. In fact, have been the real Achilles heel.
Right. Well, like you said, though, they looked pretty shaky against the Colts on the punt
returns. That's the thing. Their punt protection looks like crap.
That's really huge.
And that's like that's like a chew toy to a dog for Belichick.
Yeah, he's like, spotty
punt protection. He's like, oh, this is my shit.
He's like, you guys are fucked right there if you don't fix that hole. So, yeah, I think... The more we talk about it, I'm feeling good about it. So one big factor is that we talk about cold. It's going to be about 15 degrees when
Holy
I check today.
Cow.
Now, that could fluctuate. Some are saying it could get down to like below 10. Obviously, it could be upwards of that, you know, in the 20s or something. But it's going to be fucking cold. Wow. Last week was cold here, and that was about 20, 25. It's going to be colder. So now it's interesting to talk about because – you know, the home field advantage is clearly such a huge advantage in the playoffs, especially. I think the stat was, you know, away teams only win about 30% of the time.
They're also the lower seeded
team. Which, sure, they're also, yeah, exactly. There's a few things there. But when it's so cold like this, you know, especially the Patriots are a good cold team. You know, Belichick's got them practicing outside right now, and it's fucking 25 degrees out.
Yeah. That's the thing. You know the Patriots are good in cold weather.
Right. You know they're good in cold weather.
I'm a huge fan of Tyreek Hill, and I think he'll be totally fine. But Pat Mahomes is a Texas. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. You haven't seen it too much.
How that cold can affect people. Now, I don't think it's going to affect them that much, but I think it's going to it's going to slow the game down a little bit, which only helps the Patriots. Crowd, there was someone was saying on the radio today, you know, and they made a good point. The crowd is going to be more settled. They'll be going hard in the first quarter, but everyone's going to be frozen shut in the third. You might not see Arrowhead be. Arrowhead's not going to be as you know. They're one of the hardest places to play with, one of the most notorious loud crowds in the NFL. I'm not going to say it's going to be silenced. It's going to be tough for them to get going as much, especially if they don't have the lead and it's freezing. They were saying on the radio, there's 10,000 tickets still open.
What?
Yeah. Nobody. It's going to be free. It's going to, like, all week it's supposed to be in the 30s, and then this on Sunday. It drops to, like, below 20.
They haven't been to a Super Bowl in 50 years.
Yeah, I know that.
And people aren't pumped to go to this game? That's insane. I know. I've been to a couple games when it's 10 degrees, and it's uncomfortable in the second half.
Oh, it's brutal.
I remember...
Brutal.
I was in Denver, and my beer froze. It's like, I can't even have a beer to help put on an alcohol blanket. No, it froze. It was over.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, so that... That's a huge factor. I mean, and I think, you know, it doesn't help. I don't want to say it definitely helps us, but I feel like it might. It'll slow down the Chiefs. All that speed, Tyreek Hill making cuts on that field if it's fucking freezing.
They have a whole heating thing underneath the field, so the field should be fine.
Should be warm,
but this is an exceptionally cold game.
And there was some frost on the field last week, and the way the guy said it. When he was, there was something on the radio I was listening to. He said, "We can make the field whatever temperature we want." So, which means, I think last week they kept it cold.
Oh, smart!
Which is really smart. Really fucked. I mean, I, obviously that's just speculation, but this week they're gonna warm it up a little bit.
The field's gonna be sweating this week.
They're gonna make it hot. So you know, but also you go now. You're going from freezing cold on the sidelines. You're running out on the field and it's hotter.
Yeah,
it's tougher to, you know. That's gonna, your body's gonna react to that. So
the one thing quarterbacks tend to say about the cold is the ball doesn't travel as far.
Right. So Patrick Mahomes,
they like to throw the deep ball.
Right. Patrick Mahomes' 90-yard fastballs are gonna be not as far. Pick City, baby.
I'm calling him for whatever you want to say about Pat Mahomes. He's been outstanding. He's been incredible. He's been a marvel. This is his 18th career start. Can just wrap your head around that. He's had more starts since the Patriots and Chiefs played in October this year than he had prior to that. His entire career.
Yeah.
His career is teeny. And he's been great. He hasn't shown any cracks in the armor, but the one thing that he consistently does is he takes chances. He throws that ball up there. He'll have people over him. He'll be on a unbalanced footing.
Well, Farvey.
Some of his most spectacular throws come like that. Mistakes come from that too, and when he does things like that, the Patriots need to be there to capitalize.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's got the little running gun Brett Favre, just hope, throw it up and pray. And he got picked off last time when he did that against us a couple times.
Yeah,
so,
and it usually, if you watch the tape, he's usually throwing to Travis Kelce in those situations.
He
feels good about the height, he feels good about the physicality and the hands, and they need to be draped all over.
Yep. Couldn't agree more. So, you want to talk about the other game real quick? What do you think? Rams going to the Saints.
Yeah, I got to go with the Saints here. I just wasn't overly impressed with the Rams, and I think that they ran the ball great. I don't trust CJ Anderson to be able to do that again. Todd Gurley doesn't look completely healthy to me. I think that's going to be a big detraction from what they can do offensively. And then, like I said, the Saints have the best offensive line in football, in my opinion, and they're going to need to play that way against Aaron Donald. The one reservation I do have is like I said before, how vulnerable they are on offense by relying so heavily on Michael Thomas. And you can double team him. Freaking double team him. They play all kinds of defense for the Rams. Wade Phillips has seen it all.
Yeah.
But he really likes to play physical man coverage. And that's why Tlaib is there.
Yeah, exactly.
And if Aqib Tlaib can play the way that remember him playing, and if he can do that against Michael Thomas and give him safety help, totally give him safety help. Why wouldn't you? But if he can beat up Michael Thomas at the line of scrimmage the way he's done so many times before, that would be an enormous boost for that defense. So that if Aqib Tlaib can play his best game in 2 years, I could see the Rams winning. But otherwise, what about you?
I think Wade, I'm from the blue. Yeah, I'm still here. You hear me?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to start recording again. Just give me your take on the Saints game.
I dial something to do something to slow to 20 or, you know, less. I think they got a chance. I think they cover the spread. I think there's a chance they win and go to the Super Bowl. And then Jared Goff just takes a royal dunk in his pants in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's funny. Being a Patriots fan, I think we would do better against the Rams, but I would prefer to see Drew Brees win if the Pats don't win.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly who.
It's a tough one. Tough one. Yeah. I would have rather have been Dallas out of the four teams. Dallas got there, but they didn't have the stuff. Everyone knew they didn't have the stuff.
I just don't want to look at Jerry Jones' face anymore.
True. Good point. So what do you pick for this game? Chiefs-Patriots. What's going to happen?
It's going to be a score fest. I'm going 37-31 Patriots.
All right. All right. I'm going, let me think here. I'm going 35 Patriots to Chiefs 27.
One score game. Yeah, this is going to be a freaking classic. It has all the matchups. Like, yeah. Andy Reid has given Belichick problems in the past. Serious issues.
He has. He has. I just think if anything comes down to clock for the Chiefs, they're fucked. He's done it time and time again against us where he just doesn't know what's going on with the clock, runs out of time, takes his fucking time and blows it. He's done it in all the big games, and he's going to do it again. And I think it's going to cost him a big one. Yeah, I just, you know, I think we got it.
Could not be more excited on this end.
Absolutely. It's got the MVP. It's got the greatest of all time. Two of probably the best coaches in the league right now.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Definitely Bill and Andy's top two. You could argue he's number two.
You could definitely make that argument. A lot of people would point to the rings, lack thereof.
Yeah, maybe Sean Payton, but it's still...
Sean Payton's up there, yeah.
You know, he's definitely top few guys.
I know, it's like best quarterbacks, best coaching staffs. Yeah, it's one hell of a matchup. Patriots are 3-5 on the road this year. That's the big thing we didn't really talk about.
Yeah, we didn't, yes.
But there's nothing you could do about it.
Right.
And I'm so happy that the Pats are angry and underdogs again.
They got
fucking
the
great.
They got the eye of the tiger, man.
Oh,
they
so
want
rare.
It. They want it. They were all pissed. The whole team thinks everybody thinks they suck. And that's not true. But I don't even give a shit.
I don't give a shit. Please keep believing it.
Yeah, if that makes you guys more competitive, awesome. That's right. If you're just that pissed off at Max Kellerman and fucking what's his name? Stephen A. Smith. Great.
Yeah, probably other people for like the Boston Globe. I bet Shaughnessy's writing some hit pieces.
Shaughnessy.
All right. That'll do it for us. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week to